This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm currently in Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 24th, episode 2377, and it's brought to you, our auditors. And Glenn, I just noticed that what you put in is my daily whinny, so don't talk about that. Go.
I have good news and bad news for you on this Monday morning. First, the bad. It's Monday. But the good news is really good. Jamie and Glenn are here to guide you through another week filled with horse talk and a whole lot of fun. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
So I'm not sure which thing I'm not supposed to talk about. So
Do whatever you're going to do, because I'll figure something else out.
Okay, is it the first story I was coming out with or the other one?
For when you were coming out with.
Oh,
that was supposed to be my daily whinny.
Go ahead,
because I've got something else. Okay. I'm always prepared.
I was shocked that you would have this as your daily whinny. See, I put it in here, this story, because it involves another old guy like me.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I put this in here. So, big news over the weekend. After 40 years in show jumping, Norwegian Geir Gulliksen beat riders half his age in his first win at an FEI World Cup on Sunday.
His friends call him Jimmy, by the way.
Jimmy Geir Gulliksen. And he was 60 years old, and he took the title at this, and it's actually a qualifier for the World Cup final in Las Vegas in April. But there was something funny that happened. So I watched his final round on the video, and then they showed the award ceremony. So he goes in for the award ceremony to collect his prize, and I didn't see this part because it cut off, but apparently he removed his safety helmet. Was there video of what happened here?
I don't know about the video.
So he removes his safety helmet, and apparently his horse startled and spooked and threw him against the wall, to the point where he wasn't getting up, and they brought the screens around him and everything. Now, this is in the award ceremony after he wins World Cup. And apparently they brought the screens around him, and eventually he got up and he said, quote, "I'm not scared of injury. The day I feel frightened, I will stop straight away." So he's fine. Do you realize he rode in his first time on a Norwegian team 44 years ago? So this guy's been show jumping for a long, long time. So congratulations to him. And I don't think he'll ever take his helmet off ever while he's on the horse again.
I did not realize that he had taken his helmet. The picture I saw, you're right, I thought his helmet had just flown off.
Well,
kind of.
It said it took it off, but I think what he might have done is unstrapped it.
Yeah.
And then it flew off before he hit the wall.
I only have a picture, and it's of the horse, like, in its fancy cooler. I mean, the story is great.
It's
because
a great story.
This guy at the age of 60 finally wins his first World Cup, and then the horse bucks him off. And his quote, I love it, is like, "I feel fine, actually, except for my arse."
Yeah, so he would have probably been, you know, just fine had he not hit the wall, but apparently the wall got in his way.
I didn't realize they had to bring everything out to get him up, but yeah, that's I just loved it. The title of the article on Horse and Hound is "Horses Are the Best Levelers," you know?
They truly are. Well, I hope he does get to come to Las Vegas. How exciting for him would that be after 40 years of doing this?
Yeah.
So good for him. What's coming up on today's show?
Let's see. I'm busy trying to find another daily whinny since you went ahead and stole it. We are going to have Adrian DeWolf, who I am so excited to have her on because she's got a Mustang that she has trained, and the video has gone viral, and she's dancing with this horse. And turns out this is the horse that came from the same auction as my Mustang Zeus. So they're like brothers from another mother. So we're going to talk to her about
this
training.
This video isn't just a video. It's gone massively viral.
Yeah.
To the point where mainstream press have articles about it. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And so we're going to talk to her, and then we're going to do some sort of like a quiz thing that Glenn wants
to
try to prove
he's
manlier than me.
Yeah. We're going to find out who's the biggest scaredy cat in the post show for auditors. But we do have a question for First World Problems today. We have some other news stories, and we're going to start with one that's not so happy.
Yeah, pretty sad. Well, it's out there. It happened over the weekend. Legendary thoroughbred AP Indy has passed away. He was 31 years old. He lived at Lane's End Farm, and he died. Of course, he was the Horse of the Year, Belmont Stakes winner. I think when he first came off the track, his stud fee was $20,000 to have him service your mare. Then he was so incredibly successful. I think his last like 10 years was $300,000. I mean, he's amazing. He sired Bernardini, Mineshaft, Honor Code, Rags to Riches, Curlin, Rags to Riches who beat Curlin. So it's just and she's a filly, of course. So he was incredibly successful and incredibly special and very just a horse AP of a lifetime.
Andy, right?
I did. So I got to meet him because I was friends with his farrier, and he was like, "You want to come help me hold stallions?" And I was like, hell yeah. So it was when I lived in Lexington, and so we got to go out there, and it turns out I didn't get to hold AP Indy. I got to pet him, but you don't want to hold, like, he had a handler because those guys just bite all the time. I was like, I'm cool, I'll just watch. So I got to meet him and all the stallions out there. It was really, really special. That place is amazing. There's a really nice big statue of him already at the farm. So
he was 31 years old, and apparently they said he didn't have any illnesses. He just, old age got him. Yeah.
Yeah, just 31 years old. And he was just, he was pensioned several years ago, which means they quit breeding him, but just a special horse. And I know that they really, you know, he was the heart of that farm over there, you know, between him and Zenyatta, the two of them together are something, a force to be reckoned with. But yeah, it's just an amazing place, an amazing facility, an amazing horse. And we're definitely sad for everybody at Lane's End Farm.
And we will start to take a look. Kentucky Derby is going to be coming up before long. It's always, the weekend after Land Rover. So we'll start to take a look at that and see who the players are there, as we usually do it within 100 days. And I saw the other day it was 100 days away. So
time to start studying.
It's time to start looking at all the books, Jamie. Daily Winnie time. I only have one birthday today of our auditors, and that's Debbie Holt. Happy birthday to Debbie, and welcome new auditors Sean Griffiths and Jane Moody. And I want to thank April for increasing her pledge. Woo-hoo. We really appreciate it.
Okay, I read this story, and it's so not horse-related. It's completely opposite. But I know we have a lot of hockey fans that listen to our show. Yes, I'm about to do a sports story.
Have you ever seen a hockey game in your life?
I love hockey.
Really?
It's so fun to go. It's fun to watch, you know?
It's fun to watch in person. TV, not so much.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun to be there and feel the experience. And I just love it. And I would go to the games in Atlanta all the time. And actually, I did a half-court shot. Like, half-court. Half middle center of the ice shot, you know, and I was shooting because
what is
I was
it
the
called?
Radio.
Rink. Half rink
shot. Half rink shot, 50 yard line. I know a lot about hockey, but I had to go out there and as the radio DJ, like out there on the ice and shoot against the mascot, and I nailed it. So I scored from half court. I was like, this sport is easy.
You did?
I did. It's one of my brighter moments.
Did you ever get you love baseball. Did you ever get to throw a first pitch?
No, I'd be I wouldn't do that. That'd be too embarrassing.
Yeah, you do have a better shot of actually hitting a puck that far than throwing the ball.
Nobody
that far.
Expected me to do well in the hockey rink.
Right.
Anyway, back to the story. So this guy, this is in Toronto. David Ayers is sitting in the stands with his wife at Scotiabank Arena, and the Carolina Hurricanes goalie, James Reimer, went down with an injury. Well, they brought out their second string. Peter Mrazek, or Petra Mrazek, went out, and that's Carolina's second goalie. And midway through the second period, Ayers, his cell phone started to blow up. What they didn't realize is Mrazek had gone down in a second scary collision with the Maple Leafs forward, Kyle Clifford, and they don't have a goalie. Well, David Ayers is the Zamboni driver for the Carolina Hurricanes, and he's kind of like practices like with the minor league team. They like take shots on him, and I don't know exactly how this works, but the equipment guys came out and said, get your stuff on. You got to get out there. This guy's 42 years old, couldn't make it in the NHL, never made it into the minor leagues. And here he is. They're like, suit up. The Zamboni driver is going down and he is going to take the goal. Okay. This never happens.
Did he park the Zamboni in front of it? Was he allowed to do that?
So he is the third string backup goalie, Zamboni driver. He cleans the ice after the game, you know, and he walks down the tunnel and into, and the crowd goes wild. They're all kind of up to date on the story. This guy is now the oldest NHL goalie in history to win his regular season debut. That's right. He got the win. Oh, I think he said, it was like 8 out of 10. He stopped. So fantastic. The first two shots they scored, and then the next 8, he stopped them, and Carolina picked up a 6-3 victory over the Maple Leafs. It was Saturday night. He said it was wild.
Has he been moved up to second goalie now?
It was wild. It was fun. And then we started thinking, like, okay, does that mean he gets to make, like, league minimum now because he's, like, on the team? No. Here's what they did. He got paid $500, and he gets to keep the jersey.
and all the hot dogs he wants.
They didn't even give him that, Glenn. Oh, they did give him a puck as well. So, yeah, good time.
Gotta bring that guy back.
This guy had a kidney transplant 15 years ago. He's been the practice goalie with the NHL, like the Toronto Marlies for the last 8 years. He's like very like basic.
You know, he's perfect for him because he didn't have time to get nervous. You know, if they had told him two weeks ago that he was going to be in the game, he'd have been fretting for 2 weeks. He didn't have time, right? Just put on your thing, get out there.
He said that the guys were awesome. He said, and this is his quote, they said to me, have fun with it. Don't worry about how many goals go in. This is your moment. Have fun with it.
Well, he did all right.
Isn't that a cool story? The guy's like in his 40s. He never made the show. And like all of a sudden they're like, you're in. And then he gets the victory.
See a movie in the making. I see a movie.
I mean, what would be better is if he actually played more often, you know, then that would make a movie. But yeah, it's definitely somebody's got to be writing a script.
Speaking of movies, I am so
excited.
I wonder,
did he have a backup Zamboni driver
after
the game? Or did he like have to get out there like, all right, guys, this has been fun.
They drug the janitor out of the back. Hey, you need to drive the Zamboni tonight.
No, he's like doing media.
Or did he have to go out there between periods and drive it himself in his uniform?
I know, right? I would never take that thing off.
Speaking of movies, very seldom, you know, do I look forward to a horse movie because they're mostly cheesy. And it's, you know, girls, teenager, and he has this terrible life, and the horse saves her, and the horse is destitute, and she all of a sudden learns to ride a Grand Prix level in 10 minutes, and, you know, there's fake Winnies everywhere. Did I describe every horse movie
I've
ever
made?
I've
seen that movie several times. Yeah. Well, we got to save the farm.
And the farm, and old guy, what's his name, is always the grandfather.
She has
ranch.
To win the competition to save the farm.
Yes. Well, there's a movie I'm actually looking forward to coming out, and it's called Dream Horse. I don't know if you saw the trailer, but there's a documentary about this whole thing on Amazon Prime with the real people that were involved in it. It's a real story, and it's on Amazon Prime. It's called Dark Horse. So if you want to get a preview of what really happened before you see the movie, go see Dark Horse on Amazon Prime. I have the trailer here because it's an incredible story, and it probably could only happen in Ireland. But
it's Toni Collette. It's actually Welsh. They're actually all Welsh.
Oh, that's right. You're right. They are Welsh because in the documentary, you only understand about a half of what everybody's saying because they're Welsh.
It's like crazy accent.
Yeah. So here is the trailer for the movie coming out May 1st called Dream Horse.
Oh, my God. cry. I can already feel it.
1683, please. £32.28, please.
I'm telling you, boys,
she was my horse, and she won.
I haven't seen him in here before. Owns a racehorse, does he?
Owned. Word is, he almost lost everything.
Things are a little tight cash-wise these days, so...
Nice sirloin.
Cheers, Nellis.
I need something to look forward to when I get up in the morning. I'm going to breed a racehorse.
Absolute madness.
He's normally wealthy professional. He's not going for this kind of thing.
There's ways of doing these things, isn't there? 20 people in the village put in a tenner a week for 2 years.
No!
When the horse is born, everyone will be owners.
We'll all have an equal share.
Ha! If you lot are good enough to own a bloody racehorse, so am I.
It's a tenner every week, Kirby, you pillock.
Oh, God, he's gorgeous, isn't he?
We need a name.
What about Dream Alliance? It's our dream, and we're all in it together, so Dream Alliance.
Dream Alliance!
Dream Alliance! When you
were little. Remember, there's a less than 1% chance this horse will ever win a race.
He's facing the wrong way.
If he keeps going in that direction, he'll end up back in the village.
He's pretty rough around the edges.
Come on, lad.
Governor?
He's definitely got something about him.
Spirit.
Character. Like his own.
Be brave. This is what he wanted to do.
We're going to the races.
Our horse is gonna race! So proud of you. Seems like anything was possible.
The horse from nowhere has captured the hearts of the nation.
We lost our jobs, our community, even our pride. And then Dream came along and reminded us what life is like when you are cold.
There you go.
I didn't need a minute.
I actually would say watch Dark Horse on Amazon Prime and then go see the movie, unless you just don't want any spoilers at all. But I think it, judging by the trailer,
spoiler
followed
alert,
pretty close.
Spoiler alert, going to win some big race and it's going to be amazing. And the whole community is going to come together and their life is going to be better because they're all.
It was a pretty destitute town, too. Apparently, whatever factory or plant or mine was there before, I don't remember, closed up. So, like, nobody had any jobs and it was pretty bad. So.
I don't know, but Toni Collette, after she's the mom in The Sixth Sense and she's amazing
in
every
movie. Yes, you're right. I thought I recognized her. You're right.
And she's
just a little cleaner
in
this.
Yeah. She's amazing. And so anything she's selling, I'm buying.
So there you go. A horse movie I'm actually looking forward to, and I'll probably go to the theater to watch. How about that? That never happens. Hey, a couple of things here quick. They announced the timetable. Another thing we're going to have to start covering.
Hold on. Speaking of the theater, I forgot to tell you. I went to the theater, and I saw Call of the Wild.
Which one was that?
That's the Harrison Ford Call of the Wild.
Oh, yes. Where he's in, was it Alaska or someplace?
You've never read the Jack London book?
No.
Okay. Never mind.
Was the movie any good?
How did you not read that in high school?
No, never read it. Was it any good? Was the movie good?
Yeah. Movie's good. I mean, it's a great story. They changed the ending to make it a little less graphic and bloody, but you wouldn't know because you've never read the book. But I don't know. I mean, the whole movie, the dog is CGI. I don't think there's 2 seconds of an actual dog in that movie, which just throws me off a little bit. Somebody who watched it, but like maybe because we're more savvy with like the way the animals move and things like that. But you could definitely tell. Lucas loved it. All my nieces and nephews, everybody loved it. But I was a little put off by, I mean, to watch him put his hand on the dog, you're like, yeah, I know there's a green screen there. And maybe I just ruined, maybe just, I'm just.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler. But the whole thing, but it's a great story, you know?
Is it to see it in the theater or wait till it comes to video? Video, that'd be the answer.
Video.
Yeah.
But just because, I mean, it's a great story. It's just because it's like, and I guess I cry in every movie, you know, like I just cried during that preview, like just hearing about this movie that's coming out about horses. And then there's always like the tear jerking moment, spoiler alert, in the dog movie. And I didn't cry at all.
Well, if you didn't cry,
you know who I am. Yes. I cried commercials. And I didn't cry.
Speaking of famous dogs, we get to meet one on Friday.
Oh, yeah?
Do you remember we had Chrissy Joy on who has a dog named Beasley that does the Chewy commercials and stuff?
Yes.
And, well, she's stopping in. She was down here filming more Chewy commercials down at Universal, and she's stopping in on Friday to say hi. And we get to meet Beasley and her other movie dogs because they just finished a full-length movie, too. So that's kind of cool to meet Beasley.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Hey, the Olympics are coming up. We're going to have to start coverage on that as well because they did make the announcement of when everything is happening. And it looks like July 30th will start the horse inspections. And then going through August the 3rd will be all of the Olympic sports. I'll put a link in the show notes. There's a list on Eventing Nation of when everything happens from dressage to eventing to show jumping. But that's exciting. A lot of it will be on TV on the NBC network, all the different various stations they have. So you'll be able to watch some of the horse stuff. And Diana DeRosa, who does our WAG and Olympic coverage here on the morning shows, is going to start coming on like once a month leading up to it. And then she will give us live reports from Tokyo when she's over there. So we'll get Diana on to start getting us up to date on selections and all of that stuff. So another Olympics with horses. Who knows how many more of those there'll be, but I kind of think Japan's going to do it right. I don't picture a nightmare in Japan. I think they got it down. So okay. I think it's going to be good. I'm excited about it. And if you're an auditor, because the auditor sponsored today's show, if you're an auditor, you'll get to hear us find out who's the biggest scaredy cat after the show today, because we do a post show every day for auditors after the regular show is done. And you get to hear that by becoming an auditor for as little as $3 a month.
It's typically not child friendly. Might use some potty words.
So yes, turn off the show with the music if you have children, and then you can listen to the end of the show yourself later on. Also, maybe not play it in the barn full blast with other people in the barn. So just warning there. But if you want to become an auditor, you also get involved in the auditor room, which has 1,000 things going on in there at any given time. It's a special Facebook group for auditors. There's about 400 of them in there, and we've been having a rash of new auditors. We really appreciate your support. And the other thing is half of that money that we get in every month gets divided amongst the Horse Radio Network hosts, Jamie included. So she gets a little raise every month thanks to you guys. And I know she appreciates that, and Reese and Philip and the others do as well. So to become an auditor, just go to horseradionetwork.com, scroll down the right-hand side of the page, and you're going to see a link to become an auditor, as I said, for as little as $3 a month. We owe some people mugs. If you come in at the $10 a month level, you get a Horse Radio Network mug, and we're actually waiting on a new shipment. We ran out because we had so many auditors come in at the $10 level, so you will get your mugs. They're going to be on the way. So that's coming up as well. All right, let's call our first guest.
I'm so excited to welcome to the show Adrienne DeWolf. She is the one who you guys have seen in the viral video of her and her Mustang dancing to the Get Up. And I want to know, Adrienne, first of all, I think you're in California, correct?
Yes, I'm in Agua Dulce, California.
Well, thank you for waking up so early and joining us. Now, This horse, we have a little bit of a special connection because he came from Northern Nevada Correctional Center, which is where I adopted Zeus from, and they were in the same auction. So I want you to break down, you're probably like me, sitting there poring over the catalogs and the YouTube video, trying to decide which horse. So take us to you're looking at the catalog. Are you going to go adopt a Mustang, and which one?
Yeah. So as soon as the catalog came out, I was obsessed. And I was staring and staring, and there's only so much you can tell from a picture and a description, but I was trying to figure it out. And at that time, I'd say Toaster was about third on my list. He fit my requirements, but maybe, didn't really stick out at that point until the videos came out. He he was the first video I watched, and I was just blown away by his video. And I thought, wow, are they all this good? So I watched the rest of the videos, and I was like, no, the first one, that one is so much better than the others. And so he immediately skyrocketed to the top of my list. And I probably watched that video, like, you know, several times a day, mm-hmm. and just picked it apart and analyzed it every day until the auction.
Now, let's tell everybody what these videos are. I mean, this is an inmate at the Northern Nevada Correctional Center who is training and gentling this Mustang. And most of these guys don't have any horse experience before they are work with these Mustangs. And so when you say you picked it apart, I laugh because, like, that is a lot to pick. There's a lot to look at.
Oh, yeah. And none of them are going to look amazing because, like you said, these inmates don't know how to ride. So it's pretty rough around the edges. So you're really looking at, like, the little things. Like, how do they respond? How do they come through the gate? Because they often do, like, a little gate obstacle and come through the gate. And I'm always looking at, like, what is their facial expression? How willing is the horse to come through that gate? And really, what can this inmate do with this horse when they really don't have a lot of experience? It really kind of tells you a lot based on kind of what you can see.
So what about, now, what was his name in the prison?
It was Gunner.
Gunner, that's right, Gunner. Because Gunner was on my list, I'm not going to lie, because it's just funny that you and I both went to the same one. Gunner was definitely, I think Gunner was number two for me, but then the bidding started and Gunner immediately quickly became not number two for me anymore because you had to fight for him.
Oh, yeah. I was freaking out. Because at that point, at the auction, like, I know I'd seen him live, and I had gotten to talk to the trainer, and, yeah, I had a second choice, but as the time went on, I was like, I don't really even want my second choice. I want this one. And, like, he just got higher and higher and higher on the list, and so when the bidding started,
He was first to go.
Yeah, which was really tough. Everybody was still in it. And, you know, I had an original limit of 3,500, and there were still 10 people bidding at that point. Like, we just blew through 3,500. And I told my husband, I'm like, I'm going to keep bidding. I have to keep bidding. He's like, okay. Like, he was kind of in on it, which was good. and then we got to 5,000, and he said, stop. And I said, yes. So 5,000, it was my last bid, and I won him on my last bid. And to this day, that scares the heck out of me. If the other person had bid one more time, I wouldn't have gotten him.
I know your pain, because that auction, I think, was the most anybody has spent on any of them. And when I saw what happened with your horse and the subsequent horses, they just went for so much more than I think any of us thought. I said to my friend who I was with, I was like, I'm never going to get O'Malley. We're going to go home with an empty trailer. I can't afford, because I had a budget too. And my husband wasn't there, and which is a good thing, because I just kept on going.
Like, right. You had to at that auction.
Yeah, you had to. That you weren't going to win. And my horse Zeus, who O'Malley at the time was so naughty and during the bidding, I mean, he got away from the inmate twice and, like, ran around, bucked and farted and was in insane. And I just kept going, "That's the one. That's the one."
he was hilarious. I remember that so well. He was so funny.
Yeah, he was. Here's the shocker, is he continues to be that naughty, Adrian. So it was a precursor, you know. He's an escape artist. You can't keep him penned in. I think
Adrian picked the right one, is what I'm hearing.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah. I think we both
got the right one for us.
Yes, exactly. So then you've got this video. Fast forward.
That's not true. Her husband would dare to differ with you. He would love to see that horse gone. So
he hates him so much, Adrian. Oh my God. And you know what? He is my dream unicorn, and he will live with me until the day he dies. So no, just Chad would like that to be sooner rather than later sometimes. So tell us about what he was like. So first of all, you had the name. How'd you get the name Toaster? I've always
well. There's not like a wonderful story around that. Basically, we were driving home after the auction, and we were both exhausted. We had driven to the auction, the night before during the night, so we basically hadn't slept, and we were tired. And my husband was driving, and I was trying to keep him awake by coming up with name suggestions for our new horse. And as time went on, it got sillier and sillier because we were just that exhausted. And we got to Toaster, and we both laughed, and it stuck. You know?
Oh my God, that is funny. So there's not like you don't own like a toaster manufacturer or anything like that. Like it's just like it was just a weird word that you came up with, and it stuck.
It was just we just got more weird and more random, and it made us laugh. And then we kind of thought, well, he could be a piece of toast, a little burnt around the edges, and it stuck from there. That was it.
How funny! So you get him home. You decide, and you've done a lot with this horse. You've done some cowboy mounted shooting, I think. And what are some of the other things?
Yeah, so we've done quite a bit of extreme cowboy racing has been kind of our main thing. We actually went to the world championships in extreme cowboy racing in 2018. We competed in the novice division as well as intermediates and just missed getting to do top 10. So that's one of our crowning achievements and proud moments. And other than that, I do a lot of, any kind of obstacle type thing. And I also do like ranch classes, like ranch riding and ranch pleasure. And, we have a local riding club that I go to their shows and do kind of a little bit of everything. And any Mustang shows that come up, we always sign up for those and we've done a couple freestyles and things like that. So, I mean, I'll do anything. Yeah, we've tried mounted shooting. We've tried mounted archery. And, he's the ultimate all-around horse for sure.
Why do you think a Mustang is the horse of choice for all of these things? Why are they I don't know if people know, like, they're really good at everything. They can do, it just seems to me that they can do some of anything.
Yeah. I mean, they're the ultimate, like, all-around horse. They're perfect for the person that just kind of wants to, do mounted shooting one weekend and Western pleasure the next. And some jumping the next weekend. They really can just do a little bit of everything, and they're really up for anything. And they're so kind of willing and ready to please that they'll try whatever you ask them to.
Well, what I like about the video that you showed, it's obviously you and Toaster doing a lot of dance moves, and it's really, really cute. Now, what I don't see in this video is two things: treats and a whip. How do you get him to do all of this without the threat of a whip or the promise of a cookie?
Well, you got to remember that this is the end result here. So in the training process, I use both treats and like a dressage whip or something, just kind of as an extension of my arm. I certainly don't have to whack him for anything. But definitely I use those tools in the training process, but basically, you phase them out as you go and as he understands, and then you don't need it anymore.
So what are some of his, what's his like go-to move? What's his favorite move?
when he opens his mouth and I toss the treat in, that's a big favorite. That's a big favorite because, he gets a treat every time for that one because I toss a treat in his mouth.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to.
A lot of times. Right? So that's a big favorite. A lot of times I'll walk up to him and there he'll be, open mouth open wide.
You have almost 1 million views between the places this video is at. It's about 1 million views. Are you shocked?
Oh, totally. Yes. I had no idea. I was hoping, my friends would share it and I was going to be excited if I got a few thousand views. So when it started to go viral, I was absolutely amazed.
This is awesome. That's fantastic. Well, any tips you want to give anybody as if somebody's interested in training their horse to do some of these things?
I mean, a lot of people just like they ask where to start, or you know, that they're afraid of how long it's going to take. And my advice is like, you know, I do this like 20 minutes at a time consistently almost every morning, but it really, you just put in, you know, 20 minutes a day and you can get there. And, you know, obviously 4 years ago when I got him, I didn't think about making this video, but you know, I started with just basic ground manners and basic groundwork and just getting him really solid on, you know, being able to move his forequarters or being able to move his haunches or, you know, all of the basic groundwork. And that's what it all really, really starts with. And you just get that foundation really good. And then these things become easy because they just build just a little bit on top of that foundation. And that's my advice. 20 minutes a day.
So basically, patience and consistency is what you have to have. And it just seems like that, whatever you can imagine, you can get these horses to do with that patience and consistency.
We did have a listener ask a question that ties into that. Carrie wants to know, is it possible to do Liberty work with any horse, or are there certain characteristics that make good Liberty horses?
I would say, yes, it is possible to do it with any horse. Some horses are going to be a little easier than others. Toaster is definitely one that's well suited for it and pretty easy, but you know, you could achieve this, what I've done in that video, with any horse for sure.
The hug at the end is the most it's the coolest part of the whole thing, because he is like legit hugging you. And we did have a listener that also asked, do you use clicker training for this?
So the hug, yes, that was clicker train.
Okay, gotcha. And the rest was just, you know, patience and,
I mean, so basically the tricks tend to be clicker trained. And then the dancing is more just, you know, basic groundwork and building on it and, you know, breaking it down into little pieces and then putting it back together. So I mix my training up, just whatever feels easier or more natural is what I use, as far as whether I use clicker training or whether I use like pressure and release training.
My horse wouldn't wear the hat that he was wearing.
And the bra.
And the bra. Yeah, exactly.
And the bra.
I love it. Well, Adrian, where can people get a hold of you if they want to learn more about you or your horse or your training or anything like that?
You know, right now, Facebook is the best place. Feel free to, you know, send messages. I do check messages from non-friends, and I've turned on the follow feature on Facebook. I'm not really accepting friend requests from people that I don't know, but the follow feature will get you notifications whenever I post something, and so that's a great option.
Fantastic. All right, Adrian DeWolf, thank you so much. Give Toaster a treat for us, but make sure you're about 9 feet back so you can really chuck it in there.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, girl.
Yep. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, we apologize, everybody, for her connection. Obviously, she was outside in California. Is there ever a day in California where it's not windy?
It's perfectly breezy in California
every day. So that's what was happening there as she was outside. But it's worth the effort to try and get to talk to her.
This video is just so cute. It is. And cute. I was listening to it with the sound on because it's like a music video, basically. And Chad came and he's like, "What the hell are you watching?" Like, look at this horse.
It's not your usual music, probably.
No.
What was it? Blanco Brown? How do you say his name? I don't even know how to say his name. The artist.
I don't know either.
Blanco
Brown's the get
I
up.
I went to his page on YouTube to see if they shared her video, and they haven't, but he has like 100 million views on his videos. So apparently the Get Up Challenge is going viral all over the place.
Well, she wins.
She wins. She wins.
I always wondered how she named him Toaster, because I've seen on the Northern Nevada, we have a NNCC adopted horse and burro Facebook page that I'm in charge of. And it's amazing to me, like, people post, like, what they're doing with their horses. You can see, like, the results of each auction. They post the videos ahead of time. It's really, really cool. It's kind of a community of people that either have or are interested in having one of those horses. And, excuse me. And she posts videos and all this. And I was like, toaster? Have toaster come in. And his name was Gunner, which was one of the names of the Nelson twins that I was infatuated with, Matthew and Gunner. So I was like, totally loved Gunner. But yeah.
What's surprising is I remember you mentioning Gunner because you were on the show talking about the different horses you were looking at.
Yeah, he was like a top pick. And he was one of the ones, like, I wanted O'Malley, which turned out to be Zeus the most by far. But he was the second one that he was on the list. And when his price went that high, I was like, oh.
I remember joking about how you couldn't afford it and Chad would have killed you. So,
yeah. I already went like $1,600 over budget for Zeus. I swear to God. There's a quote in the newspaper. Somebody asked me, oh my God, you just got that horse. How do you feel? I was like, oh my God, I'm getting divorced.
All right, let's hear from Greenflower Botanicals, and we're coming back with some equestrian first world problems. See, it's more than just Jamie and I that have equestrian first world problems. Other people have them too.
Yeah.
And now our own Dr. Wendy Ying speaks with Roger from Greenflower Botanicals in a series we call CBD Oil 101.
In our continuing series on CBD oil, we're going to find out why Greenflower Botanicals is different than other companies.
Well, thanks for asking that question, Wendy. We think that we're able to really provide a superior product for several different reasons. One of those is it begins with we source right here in the USA, and we purchase and have partnerships with farms in both Colorado, Kentucky, and Oregon, as opposed to a lot of companies are bringing in importing CBD from China. Along with that, our extracts are whole plant extracts instead of isolates. So what that just means is we keep all the fatty acids and trace cannabinoids in there that as they're naturally found and bonded in the plant itself. So it's just a really, really wonderful cannabinoid-rich oil. And then, of course, is just the safety and quality issues. Every one of our products is tested at a third-party laboratory for metals, heavy metals, for pesticides, fungus, molds, and, of course, for cannabinoid content itself. So you can always be sure that not only are you getting quality product, but also you're getting a safe product.
Well, that's super, Roger. And how can people find Greenflower Botanicals?
Go to greenflowerbotanicals.com on the internet, and you'll see all of our products there, as well as the testing we talked about. Every product has a test online. And most importantly, for our HRN listeners, you can use coupon code HRN and save 20% off on your first order with Greenflower Botanicals.
If you show your horses, please check with your federation on the legal use of CBD oil.
Hello?
We're gonna cut there. Talk to me once you were getting a noise.
Hello, hello, hello.
Okay, so I'm gonna take that part out. It ended before I got back.
I had to pee. I was just running.
Well, before I got back, it ended. So
yeah.
Okay, so
sorry.
I'll cut that out. All right.
Do you want to talk about the horses, the new horses?
We could. What do you want to do? Let's do equestrian first world. We'll talk new horses. Happy story out.
Okay.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Well, now it is time for first world problem.
First world problem. First world problem. All right, God, I love that bumper. It's so cool. Now, remember, if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem. These are all submitted by our auditors. These are real life dramatic events that our listeners go through and then
share with us. So I appreciate that. Now, some of you posted some last week, and I'll try to get to those. But after the show, like, I need to, some of you messaged me and I can't keep it all straight. So on Sunday night, I put a post on the Auditor's Facebook page. And if I remember the rest of you, the ones y'all have sent me, I try to, but I can't make any promises. So anyway, let's go to it. Lara Berry says, my quad is in the shop, so I actually have to pull my poop cart out to the pasture to spread it all by myself. What do we do before?
Depending how big it is, that could be awful.
It could be, or that's a lot of trips with a small one.
Yeah.
Kayla said, I wrote English in my lesson for the first time in a decade, and it was so fun. But now my legs hurt, and I have bruises on my thighs from the buckles on the stirrup leathers. Those are not, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah. Just, we have a solution for that, by the way.
Yeah, of course, total saddle fit, which somebody suggested, and she's like, first time in 10 years, I think I'll like wait till I do it more. But yeah, no, that means the buckle, it wasn't pulled all the way up. So just tell your instructor next time these buckles are giving me bruises, they have to pull the back of this. Anyway, it shouldn't happen.
Not in the right place. No.
Yeah, it's not in the right spot. Carrie Jo, this is great. Carrie Jo, my black and white Pinto has started shedding and full force. And now when I groom him, white hairs get all over his black hairs, and black hairs get all over his white patches, and my OCD self just can't handle it.
That's funny.
Oh, God.
My recommendation is one color next time.
Get a leaf blower color. And just blow them out.
Oh, there you go. That's a good idea. Yeah. Well, depending on the horse, that would go well.
Yeah. Don't get the leaf blower too close to your hair. Advice for everybody for the future.
We never did see a picture of your hair, by the way.
It's weird. I posted it. I don't know what happened.
I didn't find it.
Carrie says, my fancy Oldenburg dressage horse she's leasing really enjoys chasing the Barnes baby cow around. Like, he's like a serious cutting horse. And now I'm like, do I have to get a Western saddle so he can live his happiest life? That's awesome. He needs to live his happiest life. Be the cutter. He wants to do that. Sharon says, I had a great weekend driving both my horses for hours in spring-like weather at a beautiful venue, but now my butt hurts and I have to sit at a desk all week. Stupid job. Ugh. April says, I got to be in the room with my daughter during a band solo contest. So her daughter's like in the band, like doing a solo contest. That's great. She's like, but the classroom she was in, the teacher was obviously an inventor, so it's hard to concentrate on my child's music to look at all these horse pictures on the wall. Honey, you did great. That was great. Hey, can I take a closer look at this? That's awesome. That is like the epitome of a horse chick right there. Like, right. Yeah, the child like doing a concert solo concert. You're so amazing. And you're like staring at the cross country photo. Brenda says it was 50 and sunny in Wisconsin today. And I got to go up for a ride, but I got sunburned.
It's 50 in Wisconsin in February. Wow.
She said she got sunburned from the sun reflecting on the snow.
There you go.
It's a thing. Karen, oh God, I love Karen. She always has to post something. She's so, yeah, she keeps it real. This is the endurance show, Karen. I have to crawl through the fence to get out, to crawl through the fence to get out and open the gate while cleaning manure because the latches and locking carabiners are apparently only can be opened on the inside. And so they're basically human proof, which is also horse proof, which is what happens to me now because I had to put all those low clips on because of Zeus that if I go in the stall, I can't come back out a different stall because they're locked. Like, and I can't reach the latch.
Yeah, her bow is the same way as Zeus. So she had to do the same thing with those same clips.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Doreen says, this year I fulfilled all my wildest horse girl fantasies. I bought a farm and a new amazing horse. And then I broke my dental retainer and I couldn't afford to see the orthodontist because I bought all that crap. And now I have to wear braces and a 43-year-old grown woman wearing braces because there's no money in my budget for Invisalign.
You know what? You do see a lot more adults wearing braces than I've ever seen in the past.
That's because I don't know why. I don't know why. I had the Invisalign. Yeah. But I also had braces and headgear. Okay, like I was that girl.
Sally says, my blacksmith changed his appointment with my horses because he's going to be on vacation on my scheduled day. But then he rescheduled me on a day that I'm going to be on vacation. Sandy says, this is not equestrian. Well, it's kind of equestrian because I skipped a grocery. This is the last one. And Glenn, I know you'll love this one. I skipped a grocery store trip so I could spend more time at the barn yesterday, but then there was no milk for my cereal this morning, so I ate it with vanilla ice cream. And I like yet that, I can't actually, figure
depending
out
on
why
the cereal,
I'm
I like that idea.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Do you like wait till it melts? Do you nougat, or do you just put the cereal on top of the ice cream and churn it up?
Just churn it up. Well, it's the same thing they do when you get an add-in at the ice cream store. It's just this time
Except
it's Fruit
for
Loops.
It's breakfast. Except for it's breakfast cereal. Oh, that's great.
Know.
All
some
right,
Lucky
I'll
Charms would be
all...
good and some vanilla, not chocolate, but vanilla ice cream.
I like vanilla ice cream in my coffee. Just like a little dollop.
Really?
It cools it down, gives it a little sweetness. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, that would work. So that's the last one?
Yeah, that's the last one. That's it.
So I can't keep track anymore on your Facebook page of what horses you have coming and going, and you got all these horses that you're helping train for this place. Were there new ones over the weekend, or was I making that up?
No, we did get some new ones. So
Were the old ones gone?
No, I adopted the old one. I kept the old one, and then I didn't have, like, usually I take them back to get adopted, and then I just bring some new ones, but then I didn't take that one back, so I had to go up there. So I went over the weekend, and they had two geldings that they were interested in me taking, and I was like, you know what, I'll just take them both. Now you look outside, there's so many horses on my property, it's insane. It's way too much. But yeah, so I went and got two geldings. One is named Erlenmeyer, and he is 8 years old, and he is a bay, and he is drop dead gorgeous. He is like one of those with like the half white all the way starts halfway down his nose and goes all the way down to snip. It's really cute. He's adorable. And he's like 17-1. He's massive. I've actually had a lot of people, my cousin included, hey, we really like him. Do you think he'd make a good barrel horse? No, he's 17-1.
17-1.
Huge.
He could step over the barrels.
Yeah, so unfortunately with him right now, I'm not able to get a lot done with him. And we'll see how long this goes because he got trimmed the day before I took him because they knew I was going to take him. So we'll get him trimmed. Oh, my God.
Sore.
He's sore on all 4 feet.
No, he can't do much
so,
with that.
So, can't really do much with that. So, I don't know how far.
Do you have a separate paddock for these that are coming in like that? Or keep them separated from the other horses? Do you?
Oh, yeah. I actually, this is a shout out to my husband. Whoop, whoop. We just built a new paddock. So, I finally got it. So, I've got a separate paddock for these guys.
I mean, are you sure from a biosecurity standpoint that they've been okay? Have they been at the other place for a while? Or do you have to worry about that?
They're in a separate paddock. Now they're still like can touch noses through the bars of the stall. They've been at their place long enough to where, if it was a horse that was sick, she would tell me, you know, I mean, you can't control
something
everything.
To worry about. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I don't give it that much thought. All my horses are vaccinated and I'm just doing, you know, the best I can. I don't have a separate barn. I know people get really crazy about the quarantine, but I mean, this mare that I took from them has been at their place 2 weeks. So, and I took her and she's out with my herd now and she's fine. So I'm a little bit more of a risky about it, but they do stay in a separate paddock and they stay in their own stalls and stuff next to each other.
Well, I think, you know, putting them in the paddocks would just be asking for hurt horses. With that many coming in and out.
Yeah, it would not be fair to my herd to keep upsetting them the way that they kind of already have themselves set up. And then to have these guys come in and out, it's not fair to them because then they got to leave that place where they figured everything out and then come here and figure everything. No, they go in their own paddocks because I can't have them getting hurt. That's the main reason. So Erlenmeyer is the big bay gelding and he's drop dead gorgeous. Now he raced quite a bit, like for a long time. And so he's got some wear and tear. I don't think he'll ever be a jumping horse simply because I don't know. I mean, we'll see a little bit more once his feet don't hurt, but the other horse, don't we have a listener in Texas who's a fox hunter?
Yes, I think Tara, she does the fox hunting show here.
She needs to come and get this other horse.
Oh, really?
He is built, like, his chest is super wide. He's about 16'1", super chill, really calm. And he came from the same place that the mare I adopted came from, Oki. And just a super awesome horse. I rode him yesterday. I'll ride him again today out in the arena. He's really, really cool. I think he's going to make something really special. And I think of the two of them, the chestnut really has a bright future. The bay will get adopted.
All right, all you fox
so
hunters
pretty.
Looking for a prospect.
I mean, if you look at his chest, he just has this like big, giant chest and just very sturdy, big boned. You know, I don't know. I just see Fox Hunter. I've only ridden him one day, but we'll see. I don't know. He just seems like that's like a good job for him. And he comes from a place, a really, really nice place. So he's been well taken care of, well managed.
Very cool.
And his name is Cowboy Pride. And he's 5 or 6.
Very cool. Well, I'm sure the listeners will want to get updates as you go along.
I can't keep up with them either, Glenn.
How does Chad do it? He doesn't know their names, does he? Please tell me he doesn't know their names, because I would never know their names.
No, he doesn't. Well, I told you the last one had like a weird like little glitch on her eyeball. She was totally visual and fine. And the other one was a little back at the knee. So he called him Eyeball and Knee. He's like, are you talking about eyeball or knee?
That's
so
how I
usually
do it.
it was the lady or dude. And how's dude? Lady. Now I've got two dudes though, so it's like the chestnut dude or the bay dude.
That's how I do it. That's what I used to do. I used to find traits, and that's how I told the horse. Especially
yeah,
when you had a lot of borders, I'd just get so confused.
Eyeball and knee. Yeah. Come on, eyeball. Okay.
Well, before we get to wrap up the show and get to the happy story, did you see the post? I think it was on Horse Nation about that farm that's for sale in Virginia.
I saw the post, but I didn't look at it because I don't need
God.
To see things.
It is unfrickin' believable. So it's a stone manor home from 1776. So it's kind of got this Georgian revival thing going. You can just kind of picture it. It's very fancy. It's got 1,471 acres in Warrington, Virginia. It's called North Wales. It's 22 bedrooms and 16 baths. Now wrap your head
around. I'm sorry. Wait, that sounds like a hotel.
22 bedrooms, 16 baths. Oh, there's a wine cellar, a bar, a billiards room, a library, a sunroom, a tennis court, a pool. The kitchen is the size of your new house you're building. I mean, it's just enormous. It's just enormous. So it sold a while back in 2015 for $21 million. And apparently price has gone up because now they're asking $30 million for it.
They did some work to it. You
the
know.
Barn facilities are unfreaking believable. This is just a beautiful place. And I was thinking if all the auditors and, we all go together, we have a shot. What do you think?
What was it for the racehorse thing? $10 a week?
Yeah, $10 a week. That's right.
10 quid a week. I can do that.
Let me divide this $40 million by 400 auditors. That's only $100,000 each.
Did you really need... Oh. Okay. $40 million
divided by 400 auditors is $100,000 each. So we can do this. We got it. We can have our own private little estate. There's 22 bedrooms. I doubt we're all going to be there one time. So there we go. For a week a year, it'd be worth it.
Bring 10 quid a week I got.
So yeah, I think we should do it. I think we should do it. We all get together. We all sign the deal. $30 million. We can have this beautiful place. We could probably bargain them down to like $25 million, I think.
No, it's like it's free.
Yeah. I mean, this place is huge. It is so beautiful. It's so neat. But it's 1776. It's going to have some upkeep. And then there's the whole tax thing in Virginia.
It literally looks like where they film Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, you're right. It kind of has that. It's Georgian revival. It kind of has that look. Yeah. Yep. Well, my happy story. I need a bumper for happy stories. Well, my happy story is this. So there's, pit bulls get a bad rap and sometimes deserve, sometimes not. But there was a pit bull named Cheyenne. And Cheyenne is a 6-year-old pit bull Labrador mix. So there's an interesting combination right there. And the owner of this particular pit bull Labrador mix, the name is Ken. And apparently Ken's 52 years old. Ken fell asleep, and during the night, he woke up to the dog body slamming him, like jumping up and down and smacking into him. And apparently he had had back surgery, so the dog knew not to mess with his back. So apparently he woke, you know how it is when you wake up and a pet has woken you up by jumping on your face, usually a cat.
Yeah.
So he apparently yelled in frustration, but before long, he realized something was wrong. And apparently Cheyenne just would not give up, just kept after him. And he said all of a sudden he felt his chest was hurting so bad he could barely breathe, drove himself to the hospital. From there, an ambulance took him to another hospital, and they said he had suffered a bad heart attack and he had 99% blockage. They said had the dog not woken him up, he'd probably been dead by morning.
He would have
never woken up at all. He would have just... you know, been gone at the age of 52, and the dog knew and woke him up. Does it make you wonder? We've done these stories before, but how does a dog know?
There's dogs that they literally train to smell imbalances.
Yeah, like diabetics,
you know?
And different stuff. But
yeah,
this is not a trained dog. This is just this pit bull Labrador mix.
Yeah.
You know, it's just incredible. He probably knew the heart rate was off or breathing or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they can sense hypertension, you know, and stuff like that. So it's just amazing.
He said he'll never yell at Cheyenne for waking him up again. I bet he won't.
You want a cookie? You wake me up, I'll give you a cookie. Yeah. You know what? I really feel like my Basset Hound is going to be like that.
Do you?
It's really a rescued... No.
How is your Basset Hound? We haven't talked about the Basset Hound.
Oh my God, she's an angel. She's an angel. She is so good. Chad actually even loves her. She doesn't bark. She doesn't jump. She's like perfectly well-behaved. And she sleeps in the bed in the spoon position with me.
you and Chad?
No. We've never had a dog in the bed. Ever.
No, we don't either.
No dogs in the bed. And so now it's Chad and then me and Bella.
Well, you didn't bring the first Basset Hound you rescued in Arizona to the bed because that one had all kinds of bugs and things. So there was a reason that one never came into bed. But
yeah, well, his ears were he fought ear infections for 2 years. But then he was perfect. But he actually physically couldn't jump on the bed. She's only 6 and she's sprite.
Oh, I thought she was older. They always look older than Basset Hounds. They always look like they're 20.
Bless her heart. Chad's like, this is the youngest, healthiest Basset Hound you've ever had. I mean, because I've had other ones. Lucky was not my first.
They usually live
senior.
12, 13 or older.
My first one was Riddy. We named her Riddy because my brother was like, that's the most ridiculous looking dog you've ever had.
I love that.
And she had been shot. I found her like in a pool of blood. Why people kick Basset Hounds? They're just too easy, I think, to, you know, they just take your abuse. And anyway, somebody had shot her and I pulled like 40 pieces of buckshot out of her. So she had like the cone and all these holes in her. And that's when my brother was like, that dog is ridiculous. Like, what is that? And she, I think when I got her, she was 7 and she lived. I had to put her down at 13. And but she was medicated, like on heart medication for like the last 2 years of her life. I mean, she was just I don't think there's a Basset Hound like that. When Chad met Bella, he's like, ooh, young and healthy. Take her, get her before she rescues, gets another one out of the pound. It's going to cost me thousands. So Bella is young and healthy and spry and runs around and plays with the other. She's just awesome.
Cool.
I just love her. And Chad calls her my comfort animal because I sleep really well when she's sleeping in the bed.
And that's something you have never, it's amazing you don't sleep really well with Chad sleeping in the bed, but you know, we won't talk. That's a different show.
Well, he's gone a lot too. And so being that he's gone a lot, it's nice that when he's gone, it's a dog fest. I have 4 dogs in this house and all 4 of them are in
so
the bed.
So they know when he's there not to get up and they he's not.
His dog, Danny, he has the golf dog that he hits the golf ball and she gets the golf ball and brings it back. Like he can hit it like 200 yards. She'll retrieve it and bring it back and set it right in front of his club. When he is gone, she sleeps with her head on his pillow. I don't tell him that part.
Do you change his sheets before he gets home every time?
No.
And on that note, It's the Western episode with Tara Timbaro. And then later in the week, we have a special new episode coming up on Thursday because Kayla and her Aussie co-host are going to be coming on with the first of
I can't wait.
Breeding and sales episodes that we're doing once a month here. So that one's already recorded, actually being edited right now. That'll be coming up on Thursday. So we have a full week of programming for you here this week. Thank you, everybody. Hang on, auditors, because we're going to talk about who's the biggest scaredy cat. We're going to take a little quiz. Right. Say it.
Spay, neuter, geld.
Jeez, if you don't say it, we're going to hear about it.